Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God.
This morning we're going to continue in our series on John, and we're looking at chapter 3 this morning. And so the chapter starts off with the word now or the word there, depending what version you're reading. So if you hear the word now or there or but or therefore or since at the beginning of a chapter, it should make you immediately go back and read the last few verses of the previous chapter. What you have to understand is when John wrote this, this was a book that he wrote, it was a letter that he wrote, so it is one ongoing thing. He never put in chapters and verses. Men did that later. We did that for reference points because if you look at how long it is, it's really hard to be like, oh, it's somewhere in the middle, right? Like most of us, if we're reading something, we like the fact that in a book, if I'm trying to tell you where I found this in another person's book, I can be like, oh, it's in Craig Rochelle's book, chapter 3, it's on page this, and it's the third paragraph, it's about the second line, right? It's a reference point. So when you see chapters and verses, don't take just a verse. This is how scripture gets taken out of context. Because you read just a verse and you're like, oh, this is what it means, but you don't read in the context. So it was interesting because as Pastor Carlo and I were preparing for this, we were looking at our Bibles and we have two different versions. And so my Bible, at the beginning of chapter 3, it says, I'm going to find it real fast for you. That's chapter 4, chapter 3. And it says, you must be born again. This is my Bible on this one. My other Bible says Jesus meets with Nicodemus. Pastor Carlo's Bible, at the end of chapter 2, the last few verses, it says Jesus and Nicodemus. So this is why it's really important that you read things in context, because what you have to understand is when Jesus is talking, when John is writing at the end of chapter 2, and it says in mine, Jesus knows what it is a man. This is where he begins the conversation with Nicodemus. Well, Chad, why didn't they start chapter 3 back there? Great question. Great question. But this is why it's so important when you're reading scripture that if you're reading and you're like, well, I read a couple chapters a day, so the next day I just open up my Bible and start again. Depending how that chapter starts, you should probably refresh your mind what the last few verses of the previous chapter were. Like, understand, how many of you watch TV? Straight up question. How many of you watch TV? Some of you kept your hands down. You are liars in the house of God. How many of you watch a weekly show and it ends with a cliffhanger and you're waiting for next week to start and you're like, you know, you have it in your phone, you have it on your watch, it goes off on alarm, so you're like, I can't miss it. You have it set to go off 15 minutes ahead of time so that you can make sure you use the washroom, you grab a drink, you grab your snacks, and you're sitting down ready for it. How many? See, confessions around the room. Now, how many of you have the same thing for Sunday morning for church? Some people are like, wait, Chad, we can bring snacks to church? As long as you share with me. But so how many of you in those shows, a week later, you love the fact that they start the show off with a 30-second recap of the previous week? Right? How many of you are like, yeah, because I kind of forget what happened in the previous show? There are so many young people in the room that are like, why do you have to wait? Can't you just click next? You guys don't understand. And so you watch that 30-second recap because a week later you can't remember what happened in the previous episode. This is also why you should take notes in church, because you don't remember last week at all. But you do this because you're like, I need a refresher. This is how you should start your Bible reading. Read a couple of verses before. Give yourself a recap of what you read yesterday and then dive into it a bit more. And so here we see that the beginning, we're talking about Jesus talking with Nicodemus. And so whether you start at the end of chapter 2 or the beginning of chapter 3, we're introduced to this religious leader Nicodemus. And now Jesus himself says this in verse 10 about Nicodemus. He says in verse 10, you are a respected Jewish teacher. Okay? So right from the beginning, we are introduced to Nicodemus. He is a respected teacher. This is why he's there to meet with Jesus. He's there to talk with him. He wants to learn from him. So the amazing thing that we understand is Nicodemus has come to learn and understand the doctrines that Jesus is teaching because it's different. And so the first thing I want to talk to you about this morning is you can bring your questions to Jesus. You can bring your questions to Jesus. He wants and is open to hear your questions. So many of us have questions, and a lot of times we grew up in church in a sense that we weren't able to ask questions. If we asked questions, it almost was like we were questioning the faith and people were questioning your faith. Where you should be able to ask questions about Scripture. You should be able to have conversations about it. So Nicodemus came at night, and many of us believe that he came because he didn't want to be seen, but they actually don't believe that's why he came at night. They believe he came at night just because he wanted an uninterrupted time with Jesus, that he could sit one-on-one and have a conversation and they could talk back and forth. And so we see in John 3, verse 2, Nicodemus says, Rabbi. So he calls him teacher. He identifies that Jesus is a teacher. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Isn't this amazing? The religious leaders that eventually kill Jesus start off with, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Now, some of them were on this page, some of them were not. And it continues, your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. So why do we pray for miracles on a Sunday morning? I pray for miracles on a Sunday morning because I believe it shows God's power. It shows his evidence. But this is also why we follow it up many times, giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Because Jesus did signs and wonders, and he did it, just to kind of mess with some of you, he did it to draw a crowd so that they could see the power of God. So when God is moving in different areas and people are flocking there to see it, and sometimes as Christians we're like, oh, Christians shouldn't do that. God can move the same in your church as he's moving there. Absolutely can. But in the moment, he's moving over there. So people go to see what God is doing. Salvation happens. Christians, leaders will go and get a fresh filling and take what God is doing there and bring it somewhere else. This is how the church is spread across North America after Azusa Street. This is how it's spread, is people go, receive, and then they take it other places. So he shows up. And now what you have to understand, when we read this, Nicodemus, when he says that we all know that God has sent you. So he's talking about we. He's representing more than himself. Okay? And we see this later in verse 7. If you look in verse 7, this is what it says. Jesus is talking. He says, so don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The word you that's here, in the Greek, it's actually plural. So it's kind of like your redneck, yous. But that's what he's referring to. So when Jesus and Nicodemus are having a conversation, what you need to understand is he's representing more than just himself. So he showed up to have the conversation, but other religious leaders were with, like, sending him, going, hey, go talk to him. Let's learn from him. Let's understand this. I think what we have to realize is as Jesus critiqued Pharisees on the way they lived and the way they did things, not all of them were horrible. Nicodemus is one of the good ones. And so we understand that some of them wanted to learn from him. So when he reads this, again, we see this used when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, that he represents other people, because in verse 3, Jesus says, I tell you the truth, that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That speaks to each and every one of us in this room. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. And the only way we're born again is through Jesus Christ. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your heart, into your life, and live for him, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Chad, I'm a nice guy. I do a lot of good things. That's great. Fantastic. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Verse 4, Nicodemus responds with a question. What do you mean? Born again. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Can we just sit here for a second as we look at this verse? I understand as believers in the room, you're like, well, that's not what he was saying. But in the moment, this was so new that Nicodemus is like, I need to go back into my mother's womb to be born again? Can you as Christians just accept for a moment that some of the stuff we say is weird? Okay? Now, I don't think we should change our wording. I believe that we can create a culture that people come in and they learn the wording, they understand, they have a safe place to ask questions. Right? We just did communion. We broke bread or cardboard and we ate it. It's gluten-free. I have no idea. I think it's free of a lot of stuff. And then you wrestle to get the juice without spilling it on you. But we're breaking bread that represents his body. And we're drinking juice that represents the blood of God. You should explain this to your friends. If you're here and you've never seen it before and you're like, man, that was weird. I'm glad he's calling it weird. Ask your friends. They should be able to explain it to you. And if you're a friend here with a friend and you're like, Chad, I don't know how to explain that, come and see me. We'll talk about it. Because I believe that we can learn languages. I remember for a long time the church thought we have to change the way we do everything so people would understand and be relevant. But we got so relevant we became unimportant. There was no necessity for us. And then I read a book and it was actually talking about Starbucks. You can have your decisions about that, but this is the intriguing thing about it. They talked about that as a church, you can create a culture that people are intrigued about and want to come to and want to ask questions. How many here go to Tim Hortons? You're Canadian, don't lie. All right? What do you order there? What do you order? French vanilla. French vanilla? What size?
Extra large.
Extra large? Sorry? Go big or go home? Absolutely, right? All right, Finn, what do you order?
Small coffee and a sausage barbecue.
Small coffee stuff. These guys are giving me like the whole menu. This is amazing. All right, so Devin, what do you order?
I order a large coffee, dark roast, 2 cream, 1 sugar.
Right? So we have our orders. Just so you know, all the other places in Canada understand what a double-double is because it started at Tim Hortons. Now, anybody ever get a drink from Starbucks? Anybody ever order a medium at Starbucks? Right? There's like, yeah. How many of you got corrected when you said, I'll have a medium? They just nicely went a grande. And the next time you went in, you said, I will have a grande. It is the only place that you order a tall, a grande, a venti. It's the only place that you say these things, but yet you change your vocabulary for them. I think the weirdest thing that I ever do is I walk in, and is it not awkward? They have coffee that is the best known in Canada, the highest purchased one. It used to be called a blonde roast. It's now called True North because that's how much we love it. We changed the name. And it felt really awkward when you walked in and ordered a tall blonde. I was like, they didn't think this through. I didn't know what was worse, ordering a tall blonde or a grande blonde. You're just kind of like, can I have that coffee in that cup? That was really off topic, but the things that we say, people have visitors here right now, and they're like, he doesn't normally say that stuff. I was talking to a whole bunch of men yesterday, so it's a little bit easier. But what we have to realize is some of the stuff we say is weird, so we have to explain it. And it's okay when you read something in Scripture and you go, that's weird. And you ask God, what do you mean? I hope that you've read Scripture and you've said, maybe even out loud, what do you mean? Because it means that God is speaking to your heart. So he says, what do you mean? How can an old man go into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replies in verse 5 to 7, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to the spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. I don't know about you, but that's not an answer. That's more confusing. But what he's saying is we need to be born again. You are born from your mother as a human being. To be born in the Spirit, you need to be born again. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your heart, and then he comes into your life. The Spirit lives in you, and then we believe as Pentecostals, there's a second baptism, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you receive the Holy Spirit's power to go and share the gospel. And so you're baptized in the Spirit, and it creates a spiritual life in you. Now, here's the amazing thing. This is what we learned by Nicodemus. You can bring questions to God. He is okay with every question you have. Ask. Sit with him and ask. You can come and ask us as pastors. I promise you, we enjoy questions. I don't question your faith at all if you're asking questions. It actually makes me realize you're reading the Scriptures. You should be asking questions. Because some of this stuff is weird. And we just have to accept it. Is it powerful? Is it amazing? Yes, it's life-changing. But if we think it's totally simple to read and everybody understands it, we're wrong. So ask questions. The second thing is this that we learn from Nicodemus and from this chapter is you have to learn to live in the unknown. You have to live in the unknown. So you can ask questions and you may never get an answer. You may never get an answer. Look at the answer that Nicodemus gets. Well, I'm telling you, you got to be born again. He doesn't explain it. He just says you got to be born and the Spirit gives life. And then this is, Jesus continues in verse 8. And this is an explanation of the Spirit. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus goes, how is this even possible? And Jesus goes, you can't explain it. You ever ask a question and somebody doesn't give you a clear answer? And you're almost more confused by the answer? This confuses me. How is this possible? Well, you have to be born of the Spirit, and just so you're aware, you can't really explain how people are born of the Spirit. We have to be okay with the unknown. You won't always get an answer for your why or your how. But you have to trust God. You have to respect Him. You have to trust Him. You have to be obedient to Him, even in the unknown. Because see, here's the thing. If you know the answer to everything that God is asking you to do, obedience is simple and it takes zero submission. It's in the unknown that we have to submit to God and we have to walk with Him and trust Him. So Nicodemus continues in verse 9 and he just says, how are these things possible? Isn't this just a normal conversation between a couple guys? This is just two people talking and we get to have the transcript. And Nicodemus is like, how are these things even possible? And Jesus continues and he says this, you are a respected Jewish teacher and yet you don't understand these things. I don't know about you, but that would sound a little bit insulting. You're a respected teacher, but you don't understand these things. He continues in verse 11, I assure you, we tell you what we know and what we've seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. Sometimes people are so caught up in their religious beliefs that even with testimonies of what God is doing, you can't break through. I believe testimonies are powerful because I truly believe that we can argue this all day long. I told you, I do it sometimes for fun. Because we see it differently, but you cannot argue a testimony. Many people will say, well, you know, if it was a healing, well, how bad were they? Can I tell you the saddest thing about that statement? I hear it more from Christians than I do non-believers. I hear it more from Christians than non-believers. And yet we want to see God do greater things. Last week we prayed for healing in this room and multiple people were healed. We see healing today, not just in other worlds, or other countries, sorry, not worlds, other countries. We see them happening literally in this room. People are being physically touched and physically healed. And as we celebrate those things and as we give God the glory for it, I believe He will do greater things. But He needs to see that we're trustworthy with the little. Chad, you're saying these healings are little? No, I think they're fantastic. But I know we're praying and believing for deaf ears to be open and eyes that can't see, see. And people that come in wheelchairs get up and walk out and leave their chairs here. I'm believing that people that don't have a limb leave here with a limb. And I know in the moment, you're sitting here and you're like, oh, I will celebrate that. Then you need to celebrate the shoulder, the back, the headache. You need to celebrate those things. Otherwise, the Bible talks about a generation that only wants a sign. Testimonies, but you won't believe. He continues in verse 12. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? See, we need to learn and understand that if we trust God and believe Him when He tells us things about earth, how He's going to work through things, when He asks you to do something and He tells you what to do, and if you are obedient, then you show Him that He can trust you with heavenly things. So many of us want the heavenly things, but we're not obedient with earthly things. Lord, I want to be able to speak for you. I want to be able to heal people. I want to be able to give prophetic words to everybody. I want you to take milk to your neighbor. Well, that's weird, God. I'm not doing that. But let me speak prophetically. Let me heal people. Let me do these great and wonderful things. I need you just to take bread to your neighbor. I need you to cut their lawn. Their dog poops on my lawn. I need you to cut their lawn and pick up the poop. Are we obedient to earthly things? Do we believe him and trust him? Then he will open up about other things. Jesus continues with a verse that so many of us know, John 3:16. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Here is Jesus sitting with Nicodemus talking about himself. I love the next verse. When you memorize John 3:16, and most of you already memorized it in some capacity, I encourage you to memorize 17. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Your calling, as you look at your neighbors, as you look at your coworkers, as you look at people in your life that don't serve Jesus, isn't to judge them, but to save them, to love them. Not to condemn them, to show them Jesus' love. His love will draw them close. See, so many people, we want people to live the way this book says. But I need to tell you something. If my neighbor, I was about to say my coworker, I'm hoping most of my coworkers serve Jesus. We should have staff meeting after the service. But if my neighbor or my family members or whoever in my life have never committed their life to Jesus Christ, have never asked Jesus into their heart, for me to try to hold them to this expectation is actually wrong. Because I don't know about you, I've actually signed up for this, and I have a hard time living up to this. So when you begin to sit with your neighbors and love them and show them Jesus, one of the best quotes I've heard, I think it was Andy Stanley that said it, you introduce people to Jesus and then let them read the scripture through Jesus, and it will change the way they see the scriptures, because they'll see it through his love and his sacrifice. He came to give up his life, not to judge us, to save us. So many of us need to hear that this morning. Even ones who signed up for this, even ones who are believers, you need to understand that Jesus came to save you, not to judge you. He loves you exactly the way you are. And then he loves you too much to leave you there. Somebody sent me this text just as we were wrapping up worship of what they've seen in the room. And as we're talking about God's love, I think this is just a good moment to share it. It says, "As we sang, it was like the elders of the church ripping down the curtains. They could see the elders. And what they're saying is, you don't need to wait." And this is for the young people in the room, but also for ones that maybe just feel unworthy. "You don't need to wait. This isn't for the elders. It isn't for the saints. I'm inviting a new generation into the Holy of Holies. What you think is only for those who have known me for a long time isn't just for them. It's for everyone." Jesus actually doesn't look at ages. We do. I actually don't believe Jesus looks at diplomas, because all of his disciples would have been technically the failures. One of our superintendents showed up to Bible college when I was Bible college, and he said, it was a weird statement, and he admitted it. He's like, we've kind of done a survey, and some of our most successful pastors, however you define success, he's like, are all C average students. To which I have to be honest, I was sitting in the back of the room, and I went, whoa! Young people in the room, I know a lot of you are sitting here, so I'm going to look here. Paul encourages Timothy not to let people look down on him because he's young. And then he says, but set the example in the way you speak, in the way you live, and in purity. And I promise you something. Don't memorize the first part of the verse. Memorize the second part. Because if you set the example in speech, in life, in impurity, nobody will ever look down on you. That goes for everybody in the room. Jesus is calling each and every one of us to be his example, to be able to answer questions and be okay with living in the unknown moments. Sent him into the world, not to judge the world, but to save it. And here's the thing, as you study the scriptures of God, as you come to him with your questions and you learn to live in the unknown, you have to accept the fact that his ways are higher. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55, it says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I've come to the conclusion that I will never know everything about God. I will never understand everything about him. I will never be able to explain to you everything about Scripture. Because here is the thing. If I could explain everything to you about God, if I could explain everything that he says in here 100% with confidence of what it means, then I truly believe that God is no longer God, because my brain can understand and explain him. So you have to be okay not knowing. That's why we call it faith. We call it faith. So you have a choice as you get into the unknown and understanding that his ways are higher. See, Jesus says to Nicodemus in verse 19, he says, and the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. I truly believe that when you confess your sins, there's freedom. The enemy loves for you to sit in the dark, because that's where you feel alone. That's where you feel deserted. One of my favorite verses is Micah 7:8, and it says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in the darkness, the Lord will be my light. So even in the moment where you've tripped, even in the moment where you've messed up, even in the moment where you've sinned, God's love is there to forgive you. And you walk in that confidence. He is the light that brings you out of darkness. And in his light is freedom and truth and love. I encourage you to find people around you that you trust, that you can confess to. Well, Chad, I thought it was okay if I just confessed to God. Absolutely. But when you confess to a brother, when you confess to a sister, when you have a safe relationship that you can be honest with, in those moments of confession, also follow up with love, accountability. That a friend can walk up to you a day later, 2 days later, and go, hey, how is that going? And there's no judgment. But accountability to hold each other. Because what we have to understand when we talk about sitting in the darkness is James tells us in verse 14 of chapter 1, each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. We're dragged away because we like it. If you didn't like sin, you wouldn't do it. If you didn't enjoy it, you wouldn't do it. Well, Chad, I don't enjoy it. It frustrates me. I understand there's a frustration in it, but the reason you're enticed is because for a moment you enjoy it. And then the guilt comes. The conviction comes, and you're like, oh, Lord, I did it again. Now, God is gracious to forgive. But the moment you can confess and say, you know what? I actually enjoy this. I remember John Bevere telling a story where this guy went to a service and he gave his heart to Jesus. He accepted Jesus, and for a long time he was trying to kick some habits. And one of the habits he was trying to kick was smoking, and he just couldn't quit. And all of a sudden he took a friend of his who wasn't saved, took him to an event, and at this event the guy got saved, and at the moment he got saved, he was delivered from smoking. And they were driving home, and his friend was saying, like, I already threw my pack of smokes out. Like, I have no desire to smoke. It doesn't entice me at all. And the guy's driving with him, excited for his friend. And then his friend gets out of the car, and immediately he becomes a little bit angry. And he's like, God, I have struggled with this for such a long time, and you deliver him instantly? This isn't fair. Why did you deliver him and not me? And he says he heard the voice of God so clear, because you liked them. And he had to confess in that moment to God, you're right, I do like smoking. And once he confessed, he was able to kick the habit through the strength of God. Sometimes the things that you can't get rid of is because if you're deep down honest, you like it. Well, Chad, I don't like how it feels afterwards. I know I shouldn't be doing that. I feel some guilt. Absolutely. But maybe confess to God. Maybe confess to a friend. Hey, you know what? Most people don't know it, but I struggle with this, and I have to be honest. I struggle because I actually kind of enjoy it. I need God to take away the desire. And God, give me a desire and a passion for you and for your word. John says in verse 30, he says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. When it comes to our confession of who Jesus is and the understanding, John the Baptist is saying at the end of this chapter, man, God has to become greater and greater. I have to become less and less. And as we walk through the scriptures, what we have to understand is when there's parts of it that we don't know, there's parts of it that where his ways are higher and we don't understand, you have to give it to him and honor him and be obedient in it. Just because you don't understand doesn't mean you shouldn't obey. How many of you have asked your kids to clean their room or do something and your kids come back with why? Anybody? Any why people in the room? I want you to know I'm horrible for it. I still am bad. I ask why all the time. How many parents in the room, when you ask your kids to do something and they just want an explanation, they just want to know why, how many of you get frustrated? How often does God get frustrated with you? You had to see that one coming. Right? Think about it for a moment. Oh, right, I'm so frustrated when my kids continually ask why, when as a parent in the moment, you know what, just do it. Why? Because I said so. God, I don't understand why you want me to do this. I just need you to be obedient. God, I read your scriptures and I see the things that I'm supposed to do and I see the things I'm not supposed to do, and I just don't know if they line up for today's world. And God goes, well, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The way the world has changed doesn't impact the way I am. So even when we don't understand, the hardest part is this. When you don't understand, some of you are like, okay, I can do this, Chad. When you say, if I don't understand, I should be obedient. This is the hardest one. When you disagree. When you read the scriptures and you disagree with it, you still have to be obedient and obey. He's not looking for your consensus. He's the living God, the Lord. What you have to understand is faith plus obedience equals trust. When you're faithful and he asks you to do something and you're obedient, it will build your trust with him. It'll build who you are. He knows he can trust you, and you will actually trust him more because you see his faithfulness. We sang the song, I lay my whole life down before you. So this morning, ask your questions. Be okay in the unknown and realize that his ways are higher. But will you lay down your life before him in all of that, with your wants, your dreams, your goals, your will, your emotions, your freedom, your finances, your relationships? Will you give it all to him and trust him fully, your whole life? Let's stand together. So let's take a moment and let's pray as we go. And the altars are open for anybody that needs prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for your strength. I thank you, Father, that you can handle every question that I have. That, Lord, you are patient with me, that you love me, and that, Lord, I can trust you in the unknown times. That when I don't understand, I can understand that you know more than me and that you love me and care for me so perfectly, that you want everything to work out for me eventually. And so, God, I trust you in the hard times. I trust you in the good times. And, Lord, I know that you just love each and every person in this room. And so, Father, I pray that through the level of trust being built through faith and obedience, that, Lord, they begin to understand that, Lord, your ways are higher. And so, Lord, we will never understand truly everything about you. And so, Father, as we leave this place, let us go into this world and lead people to you. Let us be that light. Help us to love others, not to judge them, and let them receive you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Prayer is open at the front. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.